Hello, everyone. It's Connor here. Welcome back to Science Unscripted.
It's Gabe's here, too. Normally you say, it's Connor here, and then I say, and Gabe, but you didn't.
Oh, I didn't kind of serve it
can
up
we
on
just,
a
Can we
on
just
a
get
hop
going?
There.
Can we get going?
So today we are going to talk about some coronavirus news. Some quick coronavirus updates. There have been a couple.
Big time here in Germany, the state of emergency is being lifted, or that there are ideas to do that on November 25th. That will be decided by the Bundestag.
It sounds great, but I don't...
It's more of a political thing. Every 3 months, they have to decide to keep it going, and now they've decided to stop it as of November, which doesn't make sense based on the recent numbers.
I was going to say the data, so long as the data supports stopping it now, but...
According to the Robert Koch Institute, which is Germany's CDC, yesterday there were 17,000, the last time they counted, there were 17,000 new infections in Germany. Of COVID-19.
The highest...
It's been since spring.
Yeah, and the numbers are on an upward trend.
It's skyrocketing right now.
Confusing time to be making a decision like that one. And it certainly comes up, at an odd time in terms of what's happening in other countries here in Europe, for example.
Yes, the trend is not only lightly up, it's straight up.
Yeah.
If you look at, let me go back to Germany. The last time it was counted was 11,000 new infections. Now it's 17,000 new infections.
Yeah.
And they're going to lift the state of emergency.
What would that imply exactly? Would that automatically allow things to reopen that at this point are still...
It means that Germany wouldn't be able to make any decisions on a federal level or even state level. So that doesn't mean that restrictions would disappear. It's not Freedom Day all across the country. You can do anything you want anywhere. It just means that on a federal level,
no,
they wouldn't be able to make any blanket
snap
rules.
Overnight decisions. It would have to be something proposed in state or federal parliament and then voted on. Basically, all the rule changes would happen much more slowly after that. Yeah, interesting time to consider changing the rules in that way. We'll watch and see what happens. I was mentioning, close by, near to Germany, the numbers are also going up. They seem to be going up just about everywhere. The UK is seeing daily infections of about 40,000, which Germany's at 17,000, about 80 million people living here. The UK, 40,000, about 60 million people living in the UK. Those are big numbers. Also on a pretty steep upward trend. One big part of the discussion in the UK and that a lot of people around the world may have heard about at this point, this is about a variant that some people are referring to as the Delta Plus variant, otherwise known as the AY.4.2 variant. It's not yet a variant of concern officially, but it kind of has the makings of one.
Why plus?
Plus,
is it just a name? Or?
Plus, because it has two additional mutations that weren't there in the original Delta variant. Mm-hmm. And these two mutations, researchers have taken a look at them to see, okay, what's going on with this thing? Why? What has changed? And just looking at them, there's no reason to suspect that this should be any more transmissible than the original Delta variant. But the numbers indicate that for some reason that we don't know yet, it is. At this point in the UK, it makes up about 8% of new cases. So roughly 1 in 12 or 1 in 13 new COVID-19 infections are from this quote-unquote Delta Plus variant.
And the others being predominantly just Delta.
Predominantly just Delta. And that number of Delta Plus, or the AY.4.2, is going up over time, suggesting that this one, is winning the evolutionary race.
It's more contagious than Delta?
Yes. Now, just a reminder, because it sounds kind of scary. One, a lot of cases in the UK, hardly any elsewhere. At this point, just a handful in Australia, Japan, Israel, US, Canada. But based on the numbers we're seeing in the UK, you can expect it, if it's not where you are now, it's coming soon. I looked to see if it was here in Germany, couldn't find any confirmed cases, but we can assume it's coming. The other thing is, sure, this appears to be more transmissible. The number I keep seeing is 10% more transmissible than the original Delta variant. That's, I think, a best guess at this point. And to put that into context, the original Delta or the Alpha variant before it, those were more infectious than the previous variants by like 50 or 60%.
I was going to say, so this is more transmissible compared to Delta or compared to the original?
More transmissible compared to Delta. If you had the Delta next to the Delta Plus, for now, they're saying, is roughly 10% more transmissible. That said, that's not a huge difference, and it's also possible that a different mutation will pop up elsewhere, and that will be so much more transmissible that this one ends up being a non-factor and loses the evolutionary coronavirus race.
Of those 8% that you're saying in Great Britain or in the UK, what is it more deadly or dangerous? Can we say that yet?
I don't think there's any...
With regard to severe infection?
I don't think there's any information on that at this point. I was looking at some of the hospitalization rates in the UK and trying to... It's really ugly number crunching that I'm not sure anyone sitting in my chair could do, but I don't think there's any information out there yet that, you know, you're going to have a much more severe course of disease. Finally, one last thing. We've talked on this show about animals, tadpoles, recently, and being used in experiments. And some new information out of Germany from the German Center for the Protection of Lab Animals. This is an institution that tries to protect laboratory animals being used in scientific research. Mm-hmm. And they went back and looked at, throughout the coronavirus pandemic, how many animals were used here in Germany to, you know, either investigate how the coronavirus works or to try to develop a therapy or a vaccine. And they have a number. In the first 17 months of the pandemic, there were 100 scientific projects, research projects involving laboratory animals. And in those 100 projects, there were 60,000 lab animals used. And that's about 600 animals per project, if you want to break the math down that way on average.
What kind of animals are we talking about here?
As you might guess, 600 per project, that's a lot of animals. What kind of animal could you fit 600 of into a lab? Those are almost always mice.
Mice.
90% mice. What's weird about that, I had to look at this twice because I thought, I remember reading that mice were not a very good animal for testing the novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, because they don't really get infected by it, or at least not in the same way that we humans do. So scientists figured that out pretty quickly. You either tweak the coronavirus to make it work for them because they don't have that ACE2 receptor, which is what the coronavirus binds to in people like us. Mm-hmm. And so you tweak the virus or you tweak the receptors, tweak the mice, basically. So 9 out of 10 animals were mice. Hamsters, 7%, they get infected just like us. And because they do, there were triple the number of hamsters used in German research labs since the start of the pandemic as compared to what you would typically see. So a lot more hamsters. Mm-hmm. Rats, 1.5%, guinea pigs, 1.2%, ferrets, 0.3%, and monkeys, just 0.06%, which if I've done the math right, that's fewer than 40 monkeys, hardly any monkeys. They were basically almost a non-factor.
And we are talking about a total of 60,000 animals.
Total of 60,000 animals. And sorry, real quick, those monkeys,
Just to put that into perspective, today there were probably 35,000 pigs slaughtered at just one of Germany's slaughterhouses.
Oh, for the...
In Riedenbrück, the Turney's factory, 35,000.
For the sausages
just
and
to
the,
put it into
and the, yeah.
Perspective.
No.
When it becomes an animal rights issue, that's...
Something to think about.
That's where you're
at. Domestic pigs were also used in lab research on COVID-19, but just 0.05% of the animals, not very many. And what I want to say about those monkeys, I'm pretty sure those were... I think they were rhesus macaques. I would have to look it up again. Used for the BioNTech research on its vaccine. So kind of an important one there. Last thing I'll say about animal testing here in Germany. So I've mentioned the number 60,000, and that represents just 1% of all animal experiments conducted in Germany. So again, 60,000 for COVID-19 research, 99% more than that for other things. So lots of other experiments happening in Germany, and that has been on a downward trend. So they're projecting for this year that 5 million animals will be used in labs here in Germany. Last year, it was 6 million. The year before that, it was closer to 8. So you can see those numbers going down, which suggests, hey, that's a good thing, this 3R principle, which is to reduce the number of animals used in labs to replace those animals with, something else so that you're not testing directly on the animal. and to refine that testing to make sure that the animals aren't suffering unnecessarily. Yeah, so this looks like the 3 hours in practice, the numbers are going down. I've also read, though, that it was a real logistics problem. So because of the lockdowns, you couldn't conduct tests on animals that would have otherwise happened, right? You couldn't go into the lab, feed them regularly, take care of them, and that some of the research projects here in Germany had to be put on hold throughout the pandemic as a result.
And like you say, with BioNTech using rhesus macaques in their research to produce something, these animals didn't die in vain.
It is a pretty clear case for just being grateful that these animals, I don't know, were able to help us people. It's a very tricky bioethical question that I'm sure a lot of you have strong feelings on, either one direction or the other. If you have anything else to say on that,
yeah,
or on any of the other topics we've talked about today, please get in touch with us. We're su@dw.com.
Science.